Welcome to the Overreact podcast.
And in a society that puts women in a box,
let's overreact.
You're listening to your host, Lush Angela.
And this is Mo Mohoya or Monica Mohoya.
And Angela Wamboy.
So today we are overreacting in the new digital age of dating and how we date and also how we connect with people. So we live in a society where where dating has changed. It's no longer, we can now meet people via an app. We can now connect with people through maybe meeting with friends. It's no longer maybe an arranged marriage situation or your mom says, oh, my friend has a son that I can connect you to. You know, also dating has changed. There's a higher rate of divorce than there is people going and walking down the aisle to get married. We have people openly speaking about their abuse that they've been going through, from emotional to physical to financial. And we also have partners who either knowingly or unknowingly end up openly abused. So recently this year, there's been a big scandal with the Man United player, Mason Greenwood, who the girlfriend outed him by showing images of herself being with bruises. But then she particularly shared an audio that allegedly puts him in a tricky situation, because when you listen to the audio, it sounds as if that he was forcing a sexual or intimate behavior between them, and the interaction between them two doesn't seem like he had consent. We have Kim and Kanye, who we know, you know, announced that they're going to get a divorce. And we have Kanye having constant outrages. Right now, he is urging everyone to call Kim's current boyfriend, Pete Davidson, to be called Skeet. And, you know, to hail abuse anytime they are seen together. He's actually bought a house right opposite Kim's house so that he can. I know. Valentine's, he bought a truck of roses or flowers, you know, has openly said that he wants her back, yet is out there being seen with a girl who's now calling herself Juliet. Then we have, you know, out bringing it back home, we have our very own athlete, unfortunately last year, Agnes Tirop, who was murdered by her husband. And then there has been something that's been trending on Netflix majorly this year, which is the Tinder swindler, right? So we are seeing this change of behavior in dating where, you know, before maybe we used to fight a lot about like cheating. And then now we would talk about being physically abused. But now there's this new thing of financial cheating, or being put in a position where you find yourself given money. Have you guys watched the Tinder swindler?
I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen enough memes to know what it's about.
Well, I love the way you brought the topic of the day into life. Basically, how new dating has, you know, put us as women and even men in spaces where we are being violated, either intimately, physically, or emotionally, or economically. Mm-hmm. And according to the facts and figures, according to the UN Women, globally, an estimated 736 million women, almost one in three, have been subjected to physical or sexual intimate partner violence, non-partner sexual violence, or both, and at least once in their life. 30% of women aged 15 and older have been subjected to a form of violence. Those statistics don't.
Scary.
Yes.
And those are the ones that they are able to document, or people are willingly speaking out, you know. If we look up, for instance, the Me Too incident, how many years has it been going on in the media industry for eventually just one person being able to speak out? So there's so many, and we have, you know, thank God that documentaries are being put out there where people can actually see these women sharing their stories of being either abused or, you know, put in a financial fix. There's also another documentary on Netflix called The Puppet Master, where this children are trying to look for their mom. They haven't seen her for 7 years. Mm-hmm. She started dating this man. They thought he was a normal man. Turns out he's been a con man and has swindled money. And, you know, pretends he's rich. He says he works for the MI6 and what have you, and has managed to, like, you know, oust, like, basically take his mother away from his family, and, like, she just wants to be with him. So, you know, you find situations where I mean, personally, I have a rule for myself. I will not give money that I'm willing to lose, right? And I'm very wary if I meet somebody, like, because when you watch a Tinder story, these ladies had just known him for like a month or two and already were willing to give somebody 20,000.
Surprisingly, there's a research that shows most, if you watched it, most Nordic countries, the high level of trust where most of these victims come from, it means that he has studied the demography. Most women, and mostly look like they're in their late 20s and early 30s. So this is where you have your, you know, biological clock ticking, and where you have the, you know, the society set level for you that, you know, you better get married. So you'll go for whatever. And that means in the new way of meeting someone, it's, you know, swipe right, match.
Yeah.
Fast food relationships.
You know, exactly. Yeah. And it's shockingly, emerging data shows that COVID-19 has actually made more people experience violence. It could be physical, because on the onset of the COVID pandemic, we were all confined in our homes, right?
Absolutely. You can't run. You can't leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if he hit you before COVID, you were actually in a box, and you didn't have anywhere to go, because where are you going? The counties were locked, right? Mm-hmm. You can't go up, you know, up country where you come from. People were just, you know, they lost livelihoods. So they thought also like that economic pressure that comes with it.
Yep.
So girls, because they were out of school, how many marriages did we see being reported? How many
teenage pregnancies.
Yeah. And just to bring it home, our very core passion project, Heels for Pads, we saw so many girls being exploited, and because of, you know, transactional sex, because of lack of menstrual products.
Remember the meeting we had gone in Kajiado, where, you know, they've been able to get data of the current teenage pregnancies that have happened during COVID, and it's past the ball mark of 6,000 plus, and those are the ones that they are recording. Those are the ones that they know that either this person has been married off or they're not going to school. And so, and that's just one county. So if we were to say 47 counties, there's 6,000 teenage people who are pregnant. And let's be honest, I at 12 didn't even understand my own body. So I'm not going to know what consent is, or even understand what that is. And so, like, if we times that by 47, that's a crazy number. That's a really crazy number. And times have changed, and the good, there's, you know, there's a good and bad of social media. It's a blessing because you get to, and you know, TV and newspapers, it's a blessing that you get to see these things, to be honest. I had never really understood about financial cheating until I'd say like 5 years ago, that's actually a thing, because people don't talk about it. We're so used to the physical violence, and we're used to sexual challenges, behavior, or like rape and all that stuff. But no one really talks about
economic
cheating, or economic finding yourself being pressed. You know, when we say bring it back home, you've got runners. A documentary or a news story that came out from a international news media of the runners in Kenya who have been swindled by their husbands, and they're asking, where can we go to report? You've got a runner who has got medals upon medals, but how she's living, she has nothing to show for it. Absolutely nothing to show for it, because her husband has taken her money, and she gave that money because you assume you're married to this person, you're in a trusted relationship, you're trying to build a future.
You're always on the run because you're in different countries competing.
Exactly.
And you entrust all your winnings to this person because, you know, we're building generational wealth. And it's so unfortunate, you know, we are talking about women right now who have been extorted. And also there are probably men who have been extorted by women off their property. We've had, you know, men in the village who sold their land, came with the money to Nairobi mm-hmm. or any other big cities.
Kanairo. Yeah.
And then went back home without a penny because they drank the last drop, yep. but they were swindled by women.
Yep. It's a common thing. It's something that I guess you need to ask yourself, how are you dating in this season? What are you paying attention to? Like red flags, you know? Are you seeing someone becoming a little bit, reacting a little bit too much on a very simple situation? You know, we've all had different experiences maybe, or different moments where you have felt abused in a sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ladies, have you had any personal experiences when it comes to physical abuse or verbal or mental abuse, whether it be in a romantic relationship or just, you know, any form of gender-based violence you may have personally experienced?
Well, I met some guy online, and it just started off as like chatting. We talked via comments, and then we followed each other. And then it was just a normal conversation. And then one day, I didn't like what he said, so I said I didn't like what he said. And then he just started becoming like rude. And then when I wasn't responding, just sending me like loads of messages. Like one, basically, was having a conversation with himself. And I asked myself, well, first of all, we don't live in the same country.
And just the level of entitlement. And yeah. This is someone you don't even really know.
No. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, actually, I don't need to take on these bad energies that he's sending me. So I just like blocked him. I was like, I don't need that. Like, I don't need to tolerate. Or, well, yeah, I wasn't about that.
And we have to give names to these, you know, abuse. That's cyberbullying and online abuse. I'm sorry you went through that. And I know most of our listeners could be going through that, or they have had an instance where they felt, you know, they were called out or they were abused by someone they don't even know, right? For me, it was very different. I remember I used to use number 58 to Buruburu. And while I was sitting in the matatu, we've suffered manspreading. And this guy was like spreading his, you know, his legs as if, and you know, I was carrying my books. I was coming from school and I had a lot of like stuff and luggage on my thighs. I didn't realize that he actually had sneaked and put his arm on my thigh. The whole time I'm like, I'm very uncomfortable, yet I'm carrying so much. And It dawned on me when I woke up and I just saw him being in his zone. You know what I mean? And I have never cried.
Oh,
like
God.
When I got out of the, I alighted out of that bus, I was
terrified.
I was terrified. I was like, the whole time from town to Buruburu, this, you know, I'm feeling so uncomfortable. God, it was really bad.
And I think the craziest thing is, like, as women, sometimes when we find ourselves in certain situations, we don't even know how to react. You don't know what to do. You're in so much shock. You're even trying to process in your head, like, what is actually happening right now? Like, just listening to you share that story, it's giving me goosebumps. Mm. I remember when I was in uni, I think I took the Greyhound once from, you know, California to Seattle. And
for those who don't know,
the Greyhound, it's a like a local bus.
Yeah.
It goes long distance. It's fairly affordable and whatnot, but
it's like modern
scary.
Coast.
Not even modern coast is
small,
like VIP compared to Greyhound.
Okay.
But yeah, very similar story to what you said, Mo. You know, men just trying to put their hands all over you. And I was like, where am I? I was just so confused. So, you know, I think also just being able to share resources, ladies, I know it's something that you never prepare for the worst, but it's really, really important to know where and how to get help. When it does come to gender-based violence, I personally haven't experienced it in a, you know, a romantic sense or relationship, but, you know, definitely at the hands of authority, those that are meant to protect us. There was a situation during when Kenya was experiencing lockdown and curfew and things like that. I found myself in a situation where I was being assaulted by police. And I think even at the time, in the midst of what happened, I was just speaking up to, you know, just say, hey, I want to know what's going on. This is not right. And it somehow pissed the officer off, and he proceeded to actually beat me. And to this day, I still have, you know, some of the scars that show on my skin. And at the moment, it's just like, you're just trying to process what just happened, because everything happened so quickly. And I even remember just proceeding to work the next day like nothing happened, because in my head, I was just in shock. Mm. And one thing we really want to make sure is, you know, letting y'all know that there are local resources. If you ever do find yourself in a situation of gender-based violence, there is a helpline here in Kenya, and that is 1195. And basically, it's in partnership with the Ministry of Public Service and Gender to help victims of sexual and gender-based violence to get rapid assistance, you know, whether it's healthcare or referrals or seeing, you know, a doctor right away. Your injuries must be documented. Usually by a government doctor to ensure that your injuries are real, they're documented, and they did happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I know it's hard to take those steps. I think when you are injured or when you're in an emergency situation, you're not thinking straight. But you must document what has happened.
Yeah, because then it ends up being a he said, she said kind of situation. Yeah. And if there was no one else present to defend you, be an ally for you.
And, you know, the essence of this podcast is reacting to these issues that have affected us indirectly and directly. And there are other resources. There are programs in place like Polycare. And we hope there's going to be a shift by just having this conversation that people were supposed to be delivering justice. Mm. We shouldn't be suffering in their hands. They're actually supposed to be protecting us, right?
Mm.
And there's another toll-free police service number, and it's 0800-730-99. We're going to put these resources on our social media. So if you're going through violence, usikimie, just speak up. Your voice matters. You know, there are places and programs that there are people even like, I'm getting emotional.
There's homes and spaces that you can go to. There's people, I mean, you can also email us or message us if you feel like you're finding yourself in a situation. Especially, I think it's more challenging when you're in a relationship to speak out, because, you know, I'm going to use... for instance, I'll use like Kim and Kanye's example, right? So obviously Kanye's doing this whole outrageous thing, and this other blogger or writer called Lavi said, you know, we don't know what she's not even speaking currently, but we don't even know what is being said in private. And it's very hard to already go through that publicly, but it's also very hard when you are trying your best to be civil and, you know, you're trying to protect because they have children. And so sometimes if you find yourself in the situation where you have children involved, you have ties with family, it's really hard to speak out. And I saw this thing, someone tweeted that when you're intimate with somebody, pay attention to how you feel after, because sometimes maybe you didn't want to be intimate, but then you didn't want to cause an issue, you didn't want to cause, so you just went along with it. And so sometimes you need to make a decision to decide that this is not for you. I'll give an example. I went on a date with this guy a couple of years ago, and he'd been, you know, trying to hound me for a date. I wasn't quite sure. Already that was a red flag for me, that I wasn't quite sure. And then anyway, 3 weeks later, I was like, okay, cool, let's go on this date then, innit? So we go on a date and we go for dinner. Then personally, I just wanted to do dinner and drinks and got home like after that. But he was like, oh, it's Thursday. There was this thing that used to happen on Thursdays. Let's go to that. So anyway, he's persuasive. So I end up going. But I had said that I'm going to go home. Anyway, we go to this place that we're going and we end up meeting some friends, blah, blah, blah. The friends end up leaving, so it's just the two of us. So when it's just the two of us, he tells me, do you mind like holding my drink? I want to go to the toilet. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. So, you know, he left me with the drink and I was dancing. Then when he comes back, he comes up looking very angry and enraged over something. So I'm like, oh, what's happened? Then he says, when he was trying to get back to me, someone was in the way, asked them politely to move. And this guy was really rude. And so he was really, really angry about that. So, and I tried to calm him down, trying to tell him, you know, don't worry about it. Like, let's just move on. Let's like ignore somebody who we don't even know. And, you know, people are drunk, what have you. But this guy is just seeing like how he wants to like beat up this guy. He even at one point goes to try and like start a fire, pull him back. And I'm like, listen, this is not working for me. And when I said that to him, he was like, oh, okay, if it's not working for you, then, you know, you don't have to stay. And I was like, what? I mean, I'm just going to take my bags and go. And he didn't even question it. So I took my bag, called my cab, and I left. And honestly, that scenario just showed me that genuinely, if you see red flags, don't wait for that person to change. Just run.
I think being able to, the red flag conversation is huge. How many times have we ignored red flags? I think we can all say we've ignored red flags. And unfortunately, it does take that practice of like getting burnt several times before we're like, okay, a red flag is a red flag. Don't try and sugarcoat it any other way.
Exactly. I'm not to say, I don't know if he's a violent person, but for me, that scenario wasn't going to work for me. Because I was like, if this is how aggressive you are and you're not even, he wasn't even looking at me. Like, he was so busy focused on the person that he wants to go and, you know, give him his peace of mind. So for anybody who's listening, I think the way to, I guess, we can all wrap it up with a sense of advice for people who are going through some similar challenges of financial, emotional abuse. We haven't even touched that. That's a story for another day. But like physical, whatever. What I would say is my rule is very simple. My dad was never abusive, never been. And so if I see behavior that I have not grown up seeing, I am running away. And if I feel uncomfortable, you know, as girls, we tend to say, oh, I'm going, this is where I'm going, sending your ETA, sending your trip, and just informing someone in case of anything. So be, you know, have your circle of trust, that people you can talk to, but pay attention to how that person makes you feel.
And kudos to sisters like Adele Onyango, who openly shares her experience with rape. I know these cases have skyrocketed, and there's a surge in terms of, you know, these abuses. Again, it's the very girls that we really hold near to our heart. So, and kudos to the government. We hope the commitment they made to end gender-based violence, they're going to be followed and implemented to the T. Yes. And we will continue having this conversation and react to, you know, this necessary conversation to trigger change, that not any human being should experience any form of abuse or, you know, violence. If anything, we have to fully enjoy human rights.
Well, it's been a great conversation, ladies. And you have been listening to the Overreact podcast, obviously a space where we openly ask the tough questions and have had conversations to trigger change.
Make sure you tune in next week, Monday, where we're going to have another episode overreacting once again. So set your calendars and interact with us through our digital platforms, Sister Speaks Global and Capital FM.
And yes, all the resources that we've mentioned in this episode will be shared on our Instagram and Twitter. That is SisterSpeaks254 on, and also across all digital platforms for Capital FM. You've been listening to Monica Mohoya, and my parting shot is Usikimye, your voice matters.
My name is Angela Omboy, and I am enough.
And my name is Lush Angela. Do not struggle in silence.
Let's overreact.